DI, deleted individual. If you are deleted, you cease to exist. You are vaporized. And if you are deleted, all memories of you are deleted also. Your personal property slash estate becomes the possession of the NAS, North American States. Your family, even your children, if you have children, will be forbidden to speak of you or in any way remember you once you cease to exist. Because it is taboo, deletion is not spoken of. Yet it is understood that deletion, the cruelest of punishments, is always imminent. To be deleted is not equivalent to being executed. Execution is a public lesson matter. Execution is not a state secret. A certain percentage of executions under the auspices of the Federal Execution Education Program, FEEP, are broadcast via TV to the populace for purposes of moral education. In a prison execution chamber made to resemble a hospital surgery, the CI, condemned individual, is strapped to a gurney by prison guards. Then, in the clinical white uniforms of medics, prison staffers administer the lethal dose of poison into the CI's veins as tens of millions of home TV viewers watch. Except us. Though Dad was already of MI, marked individual status, and his caste rank, CR, vulnerable, neither Dad nor Mom allowed our TV to be turned on at execution hours, which were often several times a week. My older brother Roderick objected to this censorship when he was still in school on the grounds that if his teachers discussed the educational aspect of an execution in class, he would not be able to participate and would stand out as suspicious. But this plea did not persuade our parents to turn on the TV at these times. Deletion is a different status altogether, for while execution is intended to be openly discussed, even to allude to deletion is a federal offense punishable as treason speech. My father, Eric Stroll, had been MI since a time before I was born. As a young resident MD in the Pennsboro Medical Center, he'd been under observation as a scientifically minded individual, for such individuals were assumed to be thinking for themselves, not a reputation anyone would have wished to have. In addition, Dad was charged with associating with a targeted SI, subversive individual, who was later arrested and tried for treason. Dad hadn't done more than sympathetically listen to this man address a small gathering in a public park when he and the others were caught in a Homeland Security sweep, and Dad's life was changed forever. He was demoted from his residency in the medical center. Though he had an MD with special training in pediatric oncology, he could find work only as a lowly paid medical attendant in the center, where there had to be a maintained bias against him that he might never be allowed to practice medicine again. Yet, Dad never publicly complained. He was lucky, he often publicly said, not to be imprisoned and to be alive. From time to time, MIs were obliged to restate the terms of their crimes and punishments and to publicly express gratitude for their exoneration and current employment. On such occasions, Dad took a deep breath and, as he said, bartered his soul another time. Poor Dad. He was so good-natured in our household, I don't think I realized how terrible he must have felt. How broken. Within the family, it was understood that we didn't discuss Dad's status per se, but we seemed to be allowed, that is, we were not expressly forbidden, to allude to his MI status in the way you might allude to a chronic condition in a family member, like multiple sclerosis, or Tourette's, or a predilection for freak accidents. Being MI was something shameful, embarrassing, potentially dangerous. But since MI was a relatively minor criminal category, compared with more serious criminal categories, it wasn't a treasonable offense to acknowledge it. But Dad took risks, even so. For one of the memories that comes to me, strangely clear and self-contained, like a disturbing dream suddenly recalled in daylight, was how one day when no one was home except us, Dad took me upstairs to an attic room that had been shut up for as long as I could remember, with a padlock.